Hi, everyone. This is Sam Williamson for another Campfire Conversation, and joining me is Gary Barkalow and John Hard. And tonight we want to talk, we've labeled the conversation Balancing the Spiritual and Physical Tensions of Life. And really this conversation came, we decided to have this conversation on Tuesday, sort of as a last-minute thing, because of something that took place in my life that I ended up talking with John and Gary about. Some of you know that I've been writing a book for a while, and, you know, I hate the marketing part of it. And, Gary, I'm sure you understand this so well. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the writing part, but I don't like the marketing. But somebody gave me an idea, and they said, put an excerpt from your book, and after, you know, in a blog, and after that, just sort of say, this is an excerpt from the book, and if you want to, you know, get an early copy of the book, ask people to sign up to your email list. And I thought, well, that's marketing I can do. You know, I like the writing part. All I got to do is say I'm going to do this. So I set my blog up on Monday. I set up a little sign-up box where they can sign in. And then I just sort of randomly, about 3 o'clock Monday afternoon, typed in my name just to see if the sign-up box was still working. Well, it wasn't working. And so emails weren't being collected, and then I realized emails haven't been collected on this site for months now. And so I started to get a little, let's say I was at least preoccupied by trying to get this to work on my site, and I ended up spending hours and hours working on it. I think I worked from 3 until about 9 o'clock, and this software that collects the email addresses just wasn't working. So I got another software package that would make it work. It's sort of like a file explorer, and that wasn't working. And then my whole website went down at 9 o'clock. It just died. I couldn't get to my website. I couldn't get to my administration page. I went to sleep. I woke up early the next morning, and I found out that my website had woken up at 3:30 in the morning, but everything was messed up. My fonts were changed. The colors were changed. I couldn't get to my administrative board to change things. I did finally figure out a jury-rigged solution that would capture the emails that would work. So I found something at the last minute because I knew my blog was going to release around 8 o'clock that morning. And in a certain sense, I was calm about it, meaning I used to work for a software company where you're fixing technical stuff all the time. And in that case, people's jobs were at stake. If I didn't do the work, someone would lose a friend would lose their job, or a company would lose tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars. So this wasn't that big a deal. It just meant the blog wouldn't get out. But inwardly, I think I was very, very preoccupied with making this work. And, you know, I'd send up a prayer. I'd say, oh, God, please help me. You know, help me fix this email solution. Help me fix my fonts and my colors and all that other stuff. And then I got everything up, and I sort of took a prayer time, and I read Oswald Chambers on Tuesday, May 12th, and his blog, what do you call it, his devotional, ends with this line. It says, is there some place where you are not at home with God? Then allow God to work through whatever that particular circumstance may be until you increase in him, adding his qualities. And, you know, I was, like, slain by that line. I realized that I had been, you know, I'd probably spent, I don't know, 8 hours, 6 to 8, maybe more, working on this. And I'd thrown up prayers to God, but I had not allowed, I was not at home with God. This was a place that I was not at home with God. And as soon as that happened, I emailed John and Gary and said, you guys, would you mind just chatting with me a little bit about this? Because I realized there's a part of my life where I can work frenetically, preoccupied, work hard. I'm not being lazy exactly, but I'm not doing it in a godly way. It's not like I'm doing something sinful exactly. But I realized there was a fretfulness in the way I was working, and I just needed to talk to someone about it. So that's sort of the introduction to this. And Gary or John, you can add some comments about how that conversation went, or things that or your own experiences of this kind of thing where you're working hard at something, and it's almost as though, it's not like you're rejecting God's presence. It's more like you're just not engaging with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was fascinating about the conversation is you went into your, you know, very recent or current experience was that what we started talking about, which is what we're doing tonight, is this idea of, you know, we have to work, some sort of work we do in our life, whether it's domestically in the home or it's outside the home or it's for a church or a ministry, whatever it is, we're all doing something. But we've all experienced that. I have experienced that thing where I know that in my work, as you were saying, Sam, and as Oswald Chambers was talking about, in one sense, I'm not in the presence of God, and I can tell it. And I don't, of course, I don't mean to say that he's not present within me, and he's got this, he's very fickle in his relationship with me. None of that, of course. What I mean is I can tell that there's something going on in me that I've isolated internally. I'm by myself in my work, by my choice internally. And you know, we just know, walking with God after a while, you kind of know what that feels like, and you know there's something not right right now. And so what's fascinating is we were trying to, as I remember it, trying to describe what is that, what's really going on when it feels like it's not right right now with me and God in this work.
So what's an example from your life, Gary? I mean, what is something that you do? Just any old example of where it's not like you're doing something wrong. You're not robbing a bank. But somehow you feel like you're not in God in that.
Right. Well, you know, what I find is that there are times, and they're fairly frequent, I hate to say, that when I'm doing something, there is, and I've just been pondering this since our call, and that is I have an internal sense of feeling frantic, very internally, or some other words I was writing down as I was journaling on this. Frantic was one, panic. There's almost a panic going on inside of me. Another word was that I thought was desperation. I feel this has to work kind of feeling. Life and death, high stakes. I've got to do this. This has to work. And it's funny, as I was just journaling, I thought, oh, my goodness, that kind of encapsulates all the things that go on internally with me. And I think they're the flare that goes up, the red flag that gets that's waved, the light that comes on inside that says, Gary, right now, you are not kind of with God in this. For instance, just, and I'll end on this, you know, sometimes Lee and I will be talking about something and she'll say, you know, you're really upset about this. And I'll say, no, I'm not. And she'll go, Gary, you're talking with an energy which isn't natural to the conversation. And it's the same kind of picture. There's an energy in me when I'm kind of operating in my flesh, if you will, without God. And there's an energy to it that's not natural as a believer. And I know it. I mean, I could, a lot of times it's hindsight, but if I stop for a minute and take kind of time with my heart, I realize, okay, I'm in this alone right now by my own choice.
So I'm going to ask, I love what you just said there. So Lee was giving you a clue or a symptom of when you're in this. It doesn't always have to be frantic and exactly, but in this place where it's sort of like God isn't fully invited in, or he's not, you know, to quote Chambers again, where his qualities haven't been added to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say, Gary or John, what would you say are some other symptoms of, like, how do we figure this out? How do we recognize it in ourselves? What are some symptoms you see? John.
I think a lot of this goes back to, and I love the way you came up with the words for the title. You said balancing, and I want to focus on that word, balancing, the spiritual and physical tensions of life. I think we go through life with a constant tension, and it's the secret is finding the balance between the two different poles. And so there's this internal feeling out of balance that happens when one of those two begins to dominate. So I'm thinking, like, when I'm at work, if I'm trusting God for help with a particular client situation, if I start to feel myself fretting over the time deadline that's looming, or the fact that I can't come up with the answer that I'm looking for, or I can't make the math work out, or whatever the situation is, then I've gone from trusting to now it's all on me to figure this thing out. And I'm angry, I'm frustrated, and boy, I feel sorry for whoever walks in my office.
So part of what you're saying there is you can be a little crabby. That's a kind word.
Oh, I can be a lot crabby.
Well, not you.
Crabby is still a kind word, is what he's saying.
Oh, it is. Okay.
But there's just that sense of being out of balance. That it's a sense inside your heart. You know you're out of balance.
Yeah, and I would say that for me, I would say that I don't recognize it as much as, you know, Gary's example was his wife said, Gary, you got too much energy here. The situation doesn't merit this much energy. I think, like being out of balance, sometimes I almost need someone else to recognize it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I might be aware of it, but unfortunately, when you're in the middle of that moment where it's work, I'm working hard, you know, I'm pouring my energy and my attention into getting this task done. And it's not like I forgot to ask God to help. But I was asking him to be sort of like a helper, like I need a supplement. You know, he wasn't the main course. He was like a little supplement. I just need a little more vitamin C or something. But I don't know that I'm aware of it in that moment. I wasn't, at least.
Okay, so Sam, and everyone listening, you know, how you would describe your experience of knowing kind of when God is not fully in your moment, we'd love to either have you raise your hand by hitting star 2 on the phone or putting something on the chat line. We'd love it because
yes,
we need
symptoms right now. Like, what
yes,
are symptoms
exactly.
You recognize?
So, but Sam, in one sense, when you called us and you said, hey, I'd love to talk to you guys, yes, it was retrospective. You were looking back at the moment that began the day before. But on the other hand, you were still kind of in it. I mean, you were aware of it in that moment enough to say, guys, can we talk? I just kind of want to talk this out loud a little bit. So you know something. Well, of course you know something of your own heart and journey. Of course you do. But, I mean, what did you notice? That was it simply reading Oswald Chambers' and that specific quote that kind of alerted you to this, or did you already know kind of going into this and that was just reinforcement?
That's a good question. I hate it when I say that to you, Gary. It's like all your other questions aren't.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was saying, oh, I finally had a good one, Sam.
Finally you had a good question.
Yeah.
So I would say that there's a distant awareness. I mean, if you had stopped me, if in the middle of all this you could have said, Sam, stop, what's going on? I probably could have been told you a couple of my symptoms. But it's sort of like I'm so preoccupied with getting this task done that I'm not paying attention to all those, you know, engine warning lights that are blinking at me. So I'll tell you one thing that happens to me, and I'm an idiot. I mean, it happens all the time, but when I am preoccupied with, when I have to get something done, I do extra things. I mean, so I was aware of this. So I am trying to, on Monday night, before my website goes down, I am trying to get this email work. So I'm on phone with customer service and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And sometimes you're on hold. So while I'm doing that, I pull out a list of things that I want to fix on my website to improve. You know, the changing the colors of headings and changing the font. And I want to move this thing from, you know, the top left to the bottom right. And all of a sudden, while I am under pressure, trying to get something done, I do extra things. I mean, it's the dumbest thing. I do this the same way before retreats, you know, where 2 days before you and I are going to go on a retreat, I have to prepare my talks, I have to wash my clothes, I have to prepare for things that are going to happen while I'm gone. In those moments, I decide to write a blog, I decide to, you know, mow the lawn, I decide to get a hair. I mean, it's sort of like when I'm being most focused, I actually add extra things to it, and it always happens. You know, it's stupid. Or else I get self-pity, the sort of like a little bit, woe is me, you know, why do I have to have so many things going on? Or I don't know. So I would say that if you had stopped me, Gary, in the middle of Monday night or the middle of Tuesday morning, I would have said, you're right. I'm doing too many things at once when I don't have to do those things. They've been on my to-do list for a month. Why am I doing it now? And I probably would have recognized a little bit of self-pity. I actually wasn't crabby, amazingly enough. My wife said, you know, for your website being down and everything, you seem pretty peaceful.
Hmm.
And, you know, okay, so I scored on that one. But the rest, I don't know. I see the faults of other people sometimes when I'm in the middle. I'm trying to think of things that I think of, things that are, what's the right word, symptoms of my fretfulness. I'll think of other people. Why aren't they doing more of this? So you were saying, would I have noticed it? I think it took Oswald Chambers' statement to wake me up to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment he did, I recognize I'm in one of those moments where I'm really not inviting God in.
Right. Well, and you know, to me, that tension, that balance, is how is it that we work hard, we put our whole heart, we work wholeheartedly on something, whatever that is. You know, we're focused on it, we're working hard, we're bringing all that we have to this. How do we do that and not fall into, right, just the, it's all up to me, I've got to make this work, I've got to perfect this, and what does the other side look like? What does it look like to do something wholeheartedly, but not be doing it, in a sense, alone? I mean, what does that feel like? What's an internal experience when we've invited God into something, and it's different than when we don't invite God into something? I'm asking you guys.
Well, let me share something that I experienced this week it was kind of like that. I had a medical appointment that I won't go into the details of.
No, please don't.
Yeah. But it was an appointment with a doctor that I knew I was scared to death of this appointment. And I began to ask God to give me a peace. And over the course of several hours, I began to experience peace. But I also experienced fear at the same time. It was just like a combination of both. But I had enough peace to keep moving forward and actually go on the appointment. And even there, I could feel the fear going away, but it was still there. It was always present, but so was the peace of the Father. Both were always present. But I would say I finally got to a point where the peace of the Father began to have just enough dominance that I was able to just continue to progress forward and go do what I had to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the word you said again and again, you repeated, was this idea of peace, right?
Right.
Even in the midst of fear.
Right.
Yeah. Sam?
So Brad asks a question. He said, so Sam, what would it have looked like if you had invited God into your website situation? So in other words, let's assume that I had actually done things perfectly Monday afternoon, which of course is a big assumption and it takes a lot of imagination. But so before I answer that question, Brad, I'd like to ask Gary and John, and actually anybody out there, think a moment. I mean, we all recognize the situation, don't we, where we're in some ways doing something, and we're not necessarily fully inviting God into it. It's not like we're rejecting him. And like I said, we're not robbing banks or something like that. We're not rejecting God. But if you think of situations in the past, what kind of situations are those? That, I'd like to just ask Gary and John and anyone else out there. But Gary and John, if you can think of one or two of the situations, what would you, I don't know if I'm going to ask this question to give you the answer I want, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you my answer. So it was stirred by what Brad said. I think the place that I don't invite God in are the places where I actually have some competence. So if my wife and I get into an argument and we have some disagreements, I don't feel overly confident about how to handle that. I actually turn to God and say, God, I need your help. I really need you. What do you want? But when I do something that I'm actually competent in, like I used to do software support and maintenance, I think the areas of my greatest natural strength, and I want to see what you and what Gary and John say about this, but I think the areas of my natural strength are the places that I actually invite God in the least. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so to answer Brad's question, he says, "What? Well, how would it look different?" I don't know that I would have spent my time differently, but when I need God, there's a way that I'm praying, I'm staying in touch, I'm being connected, and I might have done everything the same Monday night if it was an area that I had no competence in. But because it was an area I had competence in, there was a way that even though the external actions might have been the same, the internal energy was just being drained away because whatever I did was failing. And but normally this is an area I'm good at. So I think that one of the things I'm realizing is the hardest thing for me to give to God are the things that I actually can do naturally or I've been trained in naturally, as opposed to supernaturally. I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
Well, yeah, as I'm listening to you, Sam, and contemplating the question that Brad asked you, yeah, I think, you know, let's say I'm in a situation and I have to write something, create something, fix something, whatever it is. I don't think that the issue is, how would I do it differently if I invited God into it? And I want to be careful with this idea of inviting as if it's a formulaic thing. You have to say something and voila, he's there, like, you know, rubbing the lamp kind of thing. But rather, to me, the question is, well, what kind of person am I in the midst of doing it? Because I don't think doing it would change, like you were saying. I think what you had to do to fix the website, which felt extremely important to you with what you were hoping and wanting and feeling like the Lord wants to do here in the future, I don't think if, you know, that God would say, no, actually, Sam, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to call customer support. I don't want you to work on this. He could say that. But to me, the issue is, what kind of man were you in the midst of it? What kind of man am I?
And I was a self-reliant man. That's what I was.
Right. Right. So there's the telltale thing, and there's the issue to me. And like with me, when there's a sense in my working, when there's a sense of panic or, you know, and usually I'm not real aware of it in the moment, panic or maybe I've got to make this work kind of thing, or this is life and death, I'm not a good man in that situation, you know, and that's where Lee will sometimes, she'll call me out because I'm here in the house, and she'll say, so really, if that doesn't get out today, that's going to change everything. The ministry won't have its effect, and, you know, and on and on. And of course,
and
I mean,
say, thank you very much, honey. That was so
much. I feel belittling, but actually what it's doing is it's belittling the flesh in me, because then I have to go, you know, you're right, actually. It really won't make a difference if this is a day late or whatever it is, you know. So to me, the issue is not so much would I do it differently as would I be a different man. And I would say, yeah, I would be. And again, God looks in on the heart, you know. And so that's what I wrestle with, is the kind of person I am while I'm doing something versus I probably should be doing this differently.
So you remind me of the movie Chariots of Fire, where the two of the main stars are Eric Little and Harold Abrams. And you remember at one point Harold Abrams is asked why he runs so hard, why does he work so hard, why is he pushing so hard? And he says, when that gun goes off, I have 10 seconds to prove my life.
Mm.
And someone else says to Eric Little, why do you run so much? And his sister says, no, he says, his sister asks him why he runs so much.
Yeah.
And he says, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. Now, on the outside, both guys are working very hard and running. And I don't know that if you had a movie camera on them, you'd see the difference. But I think one guy at the end of his day of running is exhausted physically, of course, but also emotionally, psychologically, you know, psychically. I mean, he's wearing himself out. Whereas that's Harold Abrams. Whereas Eric Little, in a certain sense, is whistling while he works. I mean, he's loving it. He's doing the same thing, but he's somehow in the presence of God, which is not the way I was Monday night and Tuesday morning. I was not whistling while I worked.
Yeah.
I wasn't cussing, but I was not feeling God's pleasure.
Well, and that line, right, that line of I have 10 seconds to prove myself, I don't know about you, John, and everyone else listening, but that really hits me. I mean, there's something that vibrates, resonates inside of me like, oh, I know that one. You know, I've got to prove myself through this thing. And that's, right, that's godless, you know, yeah.
Well, and he's saying that he's looking for his identity there, where the other guy is, he's found his identity because his identity is he's the delight of his father, and he feels his pleasure.
Yeah, and I would say it wasn't like I didn't feel the delight of the father. I think it was more like I just didn't pay attention. Like I said, I think there was all these lights going off, and I just wasn't paying attention. So, yes, Gary has been sending me, and I think he's been sending John for 3 months, he's sending these weekly Larry Crabb quotes. And so this event happened Tuesday morning. Yesterday, I get a Larry Crabb quote, and then under the quote are some questions, you know, sort of thoughts, meditative questions. And here's the question that really struck me. So after the Larry Crabb quote, which was fine, but the question was, in what ways are you currently more focused on making a difficult situation better by asking God what to do rather than seeking to draw near to God and give him pleasure? And what struck me was in my, you know, seeking God, because I did pray a little bit over my little web tempest in a teapot, I really was asking God, I was really asking God, so what should I do to fix this? So I was asking God what to do. I wasn't just drawing near to God and saying, hey, God, what, you know, how can I give you pleasure? How can I delight in your presence? I think God was orchestrating all of this stuff to get me to realize that I trusted myself a heck of a lot more than I trust in him. And I think that was a lot more important thing for me to learn than for me to get a blog out. In other words, ironically, my blog was on hearing God. And of course, in writing, in producing this blog, the last thing I'm doing is listening to God. You know, I was narrowing the range of discussion for God. I was saying, God, what should I do to make this blog work? Instead of saying, God, what are you saying to me? What's happening? How can I be with you in this moment? You know, it would have been fine if the blog didn't go out at all. So
right.
So I don't remember which one of you said something that triggered this, but it was sort of the idea for me is I wasn't letting God ask anything out of the range of, you know, doors one and two. Doors one and two are what should I do? And I think God had door 17 down the road, which is, I really am trying to say something completely different to you, and you're not looking at this door over here.
Well, I was looking through my journal since our conversation. I was so stirred by it. I was just going back through looking at what God has been saying to me as of late and what he's doing. And I want to read for you just three sentences that I wrote down. And it was actually at Base Camp gathering last fall. And I don't even remember who maybe led that session, and then we had some time with God alone. I know that's where I wrote it, in some time with God alone. But let me read this, because this so speaks to this in me, in Gary Barkalow. And God was speaking to me in a way that I knew exactly what he meant. I mean, he painted a picture for me that said everything. So let me just read this, because it really speaks to this, and I needed to hear this again. So what God said to me is, he said, and it was something about the way I was living my life, the way I was walking with him, or my distance from him, or whatever. And so this is what I wrote down in my journal that I was hearing God say. He said, Gary, you are exhausting yourself with every hand and foothold. Now, again, the picture was rock climbing, which I've done quite a bit with my boys in earlier years. Technical rock climbing, ropes and the whole thing. So he said, you are exhausting yourself with every hand and foothold as if you are unsupported and it's life or death. You are not the lead climber. I am. I laid out the course, set the pins, and I'm belaying you. Yes, your skills and training are important, but stop trying to make every move proof of being a good climber. I'm telling you, I mean, I couldn't have made that up on my own. And that so
no
spoke
kidding.
To me, because it was like that. It was like that. The other character who said, I've got 10 seconds to prove myself. And I think God was saying, Gary, this is what you do. You work, you're working hard because you believe and you're passionate about what you're doing. But you are trying to prove yourself in every time you do it. And stop it. I've got you. You couldn't, if you let go of this rock, you couldn't fall. I've got you. So anyway, that's just an example of God trying to speak to me personally in my heart about this thing, you know.
I'm thinking that as we find ourselves in these situations, it's not an issue, or it shouldn't be an issue of, let's invite God into this, but rather let's learn to recognize him already in the midst of it.
That's very good, John.
Mm-hmm.
That's very good. It's
because
not
he's already there.
Right, it's not
well,
that
he's already there.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, he's already there. He's already engineered these circumstances, and he's up to something. And so we get so focused on the problem. And I love Gary's example of the rock climbing, because it's like, no matter what the situation is, and it doesn't matter what move we make, whatever mistake we make, he's already caught us. He's there with the net. He's there with the rope. And he's just waiting on us to make the move, but with our reliance on him. It just comes back to recognizing he is already there, and he's there with a good purpose for us.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of lost my train of thought.
Well, and let me just say, as Sam was saying, I think that's such a good point, because it would be easy to think that now we have to figure out the particular, you know, move, words, whatever, that gets God to show up. And he's already showed up. He's already there. But I just think, I mean, I can just picture him sitting next to me going, so you really don't want to do this together? You know, I am sitting right here. I've got my arm on your shoulder. I'm for you. I told you I want us to do this together, but you really want to do this alone? And I know that's what happens in my heart. I know that's when the sense of, you know, panic, desperation, life or death. And you know what? And as I say this, I think one of the overwhelming feelings I have when I do this is aloneness. I really do feel alone in this.
Well, that's good.
And I think it's why I get mad, you know.
when you're in the frantic, frenetic moment, you feel more isolated than normal. You're actually isolated from God as well as friends.
Right. Right.
So the opposite problem, which we haven't been talking about, we're talking about us, I don't know, maybe type A, maybe just fix-it people or, you know, solution people. But I did have an employee who worked for me once who was a Christian. And the truth is, you know, at my company we might have worked too hard, but this guy was not guilty of working too hard. And he was a Christian, and, you know, I would say, why didn't you call the client back when they called you? And he would say something like, hey, listen, if God wants to fix it, he'll fix it. You know, just don't worry. God will take care of everything. But this guy didn't do anything. In the end, I had to fire him, which was very hard. And I remember him talking to me saying, how am I going to get a paycheck? And I desperately wanted to say, hey, if God wants you to have a paycheck, he'll make it happen. But I didn't. You know, it was one of those few moments where I was graceful. But you know, and we gave him a good severance package. But the guy, I think, disguised his laziness under saying, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. And I do think there's a temptation at times. Listen, God is in control. I don't disagree with that. But God calls us to be diligent and to work hard. And I think the issue here isn't – I'm not trying to talk – well, it's not that we're lazy, although some of us might be. I mean, we have to be honest. But it's that I think sometimes we can walk ahead of God in the way we work or something like that. That we can – like for me, I really do think the times that I'm least connected to God are the times I feel most – personally prepared for this moment. But I don't want to ignore the fact that there is the opposite side of this whole problem, and that's people who just say, oh, God will make it happen, let's just not worry, let's go out, tell some stories or something like that.
Right, right. Well, you know what, I think that people who are lazy, I don't think they're even aware of this tension, you know, of gosh, I'm working out of something other than my life in God here. And I think actually most of us, I think the majority, and probably all of us listening, at least to this right now, are probably we lean more on this other side of, you know, trying to make things work, and there's something else going on. When that gun goes off, instead of just running because we feel the pleasure of God, we're running to prove ourselves. I have a feeling, at least it's my deal. And I remember, you know, I remember it was last summer taking some time with God, and I wasn't really in a great place in my heart, and all the more I knew I needed to do this. But as I was just asking God, what is this going on in me? Why is this going on? I felt like he said, you know, why don't you write down the emotions, don't name the emotion, but name what's behind the emotions you're feeling, like what kind of sentences, what are the drivers? And I just was kind of freelancing it, freehanding it, and I was really shocked that in a short amount of time I had written down things like, I'm not enough, I'm a non-player in life, I don't have much to offer. I don't do enough. I'm unaccomplished. I don't work hard enough. My life is too easy. I'm a disappointment. I mean, now I could read those because I look back at my journal, but oh my goodness, I thought, no wonder, you know, it's almost like I'm embarrassed to look for God to show up because I feel so much shame out of the way I'm living anyway. And so the last thing I want, I'd rather clean things up and say, look, I really worked hard. Now will you join me? And so that was my internal reality, you know, and I thought, okay, that I have to deal with that at that level. Not with, no, I need to remember, every few minutes I need to remember to pray again, you know, because that would be like, you know, rubbing the magic lantern type of thing, you know, that wouldn't do anything.
So we need to wrap this up, but I guess I want to ask both of you and anybody else on the chat lines too, what do you think are some helpful clues, some helpful advice, some words of wisdom for living, for growing the qualities of God within us, letting the qualities of God grow in those situations where we're frantically working on our own. So, you know, Gary or John, either one of you, what are some, just off the top of your head, what do you think are things that we can do to make this work better in our lives?
I think
how can
for
we
me,
lead into, go ahead.
Well, I think for me, and this is just because of the way I tend to approach problems, is I tend to just turn around and run away from them. And so for me, it's just to continue walking through the storm. And it doesn't mean I'm keeping my eyes fixed on him the whole time, but I'm trying to. But it's just continuing to stay with it and let him accomplish what he's doing through that. It's just part of the journey, living through and enduring through the hardship. And I just think there's something he does on the inside as we continue to do that, even if we don't feel like we're really trusting him all the way through. We're trusting him enough to at least stay in it. And I think that is the part where he's actually strengthening our faith.
That's good. That's good. And so I will say, and Sam, of course you're going to answer your own question, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So I want to make sure. I think what I would say is, for me, it's being aware of the activity of my own heart moment by moment, just being aware, kind of asking, how am I doing of myself? Because the sentence that came to me just now through this conversation was, if what's going on in my heart is, I will feel better once I get this blog out, once I fix the website, once I'm really ready for this retreat, whatever it is, you know, during my day, then I know I'm not doing well, because, right, the solution is, if I get this done, then I'm going to be okay. Versus, no, actually, right now, I just need to invite God in this. I just want to say, God, I just want to be with you in this right now. I'm obviously feel rather alone, and that's my fault, not yours, you know, kind of thing. So that's what I would say. And by the way, Sam, just before you go, I see that Barrett has his hand raised, so we might want to see if he wants to.
Oh, good.
Okay. Do you want to do that on your screen?
Yeah, okay, I'll do that. So, Barrett, I am going to, just a sec, I am going to unhold you so that you can say something. So, Barrett, you are live. Can you say something? Oh, no, sorry.
Are you also an engineer on
trains? Now you can talk, Barrett. Barrett, are you there?
He looks muted to me still. Let me try to unmute
him. No, hang on. How about now? Do you guys hear me now?
Good. Yep, I can hear you.
Okay. I was muted on my end. So, my thought was actually connected to some of what Gary was just talking about. And I've started thinking about it, like shifting my focus to, I recently started doing some more recording. I'm kind of starting another songwriting recording project. And one of the things I've sensed God sort of proposing to me, like, is, like, what if this is more about the work he's doing in my heart than it is about the actual result or the impact of it? And so, so it's sort of like changing my focus to maybe it's like, maybe that's what it's really all about. It's, you know, what is God really wanting to do in my heart, and actually valuing that as much as God values that, sort of not making it like the end result and the doing, making that like way more important than it truly is in his eyes, you know, in his eyes, it's more about our journey together and what he's doing in me and sort of that relationship, you know, that giving and taking, that those invitations he's offering. So
that's good, Brad Barrett. I think I was going to say something along the lines. I'm going to take you off hold, but I really do appreciate that.
Yeah, those are good words.
So, like Barrett was saying, and like John and Gary were both saying, I would say that I think in these times, one of the things that I have to realize is that the task that I'm accomplishing isn't usually the key thing that God's doing. I mean, all the earth and all the host of heaven, the cloud of witnesses, I don't think they were primarily waiting to see me post my blog. You know, I think they were. I just don't think that was the critical thing going on. I think they were waiting to see me enter into a relationship with God. And I think that there's a way that I need to, with the grace of God, have a heightened awareness of his presence and the heightened awareness of I'm looking just at door number one and two as the only thing God is about. And normally God is about something greater and more significant than that. And I don't want to shut my doors and my eyes and my ears to something more significant God might be doing. If my life is supposed to be a relationship with God, then in the midst of difficulties, God might ask me to persevere. But I think he wants me to persevere with him, more than just on the task. And I think I really was persevering just on the task. I'm going to accomplish this thing. And in some ways, I think God is saying, I really want a relationship with you, Sam. And I keep saying I need to invite him in. I think he's the one that's inviting me in. You know, he's inviting me into just a relationship with him where I can say, hey, look, I'm working on this task because that's what I think you're calling me to do. But I really just want to be doing it with you. I mean, in the end, I called you, Gary and John, because I wanted to walk through this problem with you guys. I think I wasn't walking through this problem with God in the midst of the problem. Except in my very narrow range. God, what are the key things I have to do to get these customer service people to help me? You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's really much more about the relationship with God than it is about the accomplishment of the task. Not that I shouldn't work on the task, but my focus, I think God is really inviting me to be in a relationship with him more than just to accomplish a task.
Yeah. Yeah, and the thought that comes to my mind is I often think about, focus on the external fruit of what I am doing. What will its effect be out there, wherever there is?
Right.
And what hits me as I'm hearing all this, I'm thinking, but there's also internal fruit. And I need to be looking at something. I think asking what will be the fruit of this externally is the right question to ask. But I'm realizing the second or maybe the first question is, but what's the internal fruit? And it's really what Barrett was referring to. What am I like in the midst of this? What's happening in me? And if it's not good, I need to say, all right, God, I really need help with this because this, you know, as you said in the quoting Wayne Jacobson, this has the scent of human sweat more than it does the fragrance of the grace of the Father, you know.
I think it has the stench of human sweat, not just the scent.
That's true. The stench or the odor of human sweat versus the... Yes, yes, yes. So, yep.
Hey, everybody, this is really good. I appreciate, you know, one of the things I like about Basecamp and Secret Garden is our ability to be real and not just to get together when we have solutions. But, you know, for me, it was just terrific to be able to call John and Gary and say, I got a problem. And not say I have a solution, but just say I got a problem. I do think this is one of the things that we can do with each other is we can call each other up and talk with each other in the midst of our problems. And for me, it was great to be able to talk with John and Gary. And I think it's great for us to talk together. So thank you. It's been good to be together.
Yeah, let me just add to what you said. I mean, right now I'm looking at a list of people that are on the chat line. Therefore, they're on Basecamp or in the Secret Garden. And there are a few that are on the phone but not on one of the online communities. And if you've ever thought, gosh, I just wish I had a list of really good people that I could talk to, they're right here, right now. They're right in front of you. And so I just want to say absolutely to what Sam just said, that this is what we're about. And, you know, I don't know of a person that if somebody ever said to them, man, can I talk to you? I just want to talk something out, that we'd ever say, no, I hate doing that. I don't like to help people like that. I don't, you know, we'd be like, just like we were, yes, right now, we'll drop everything, you know? So, absolutely.
And it was great. I mean, I agree with Gary, who was agreeing with me. Maybe that's why I agree with you this time. But it was just delightful to have these two guys walk with me, and we laughed together. I mean, they partly laughed at me, but they partly laughed at themselves as they told the same stories of how they do the same thing. And it's, I think this is the fragrance of the Father, is for us to be able to share our problems almost more than share our victories, is to find people who are with us side by side. To me, it was fantastic, and I thank you, John and Gary. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it was our pleasure, and I mean that
honored
literally, not just as an expression, you know.
Okay, I'm going to turn off the recording.
All right, see everybody. Fun being
see
with you. Sam said, so good. Thank you.